The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and we are back. It's Tuesday, December 2nd, and we are rolling to the end of the year very quickly. George Filer is up tonight, this first hour. George, of course, is a longtime colleague and friend. He is the Eastern Director for the Mutual UFO Network, puts out the best UFO newsletter in the world, the weekly Filer's Files. And you can get that delivered free to your electronic mailbox. All you got to do is ask. And you can write to George at Major, M-A-J-O-R, star, at Verizon.net. And just tell him you heard him here, and please send you a subscription. He'll do it free. And they're very nicely, beautifully put together, actually. And I think he has just done an extraordinary job. I remember back in the old days when he was just getting started and had other people helping him. And he does it all himself. And it's very, very nicely done. Filer's Files, number 45, number 46, and number 47 are up at the top of headlines at Rents right now, and you're more than welcome to take a look at those with us as we go through some of those and other things as well. Hello, George. How are you, sir? Now, after all that, I hope he's there. Are you there, George? George is not there. Unbelievable. Well, we'll call him back. Phone pranks. Was there another CME that I missed? I don't know. Filer's Files number 45 is the first one we're going to look at tonight. If you want to pull that up, I haven't looked at these. I just don't have the time to get to them. It's kind of fun to go through them with George together. But they're very nice, full of information, and lots of photographs. The top picture in this one is a sighting over Naples, Florida, about noon, October the 26th. Very odd object, not photoshopped. And this is what George deals with all the time, are submissions of very interesting things, pictures of them. He's got a very good special report. This is a kind of a must report for all of you who are interested in this phenomenon, whichever side of the fence you're on. It has to do with Ben Rich, the former director of the Lockheed Skunk Works out there in the desert. Ben was an aeronautical genius and was responsible for many, many secret projects. And we have a big echo all of a sudden of yours truly, and I think George may be there. Are you there, George?
Yes, I'm here.
How you been?
Fine.
Good. I was just looking at number 45. I gave you the $10 introduction, and you weren't there. But you're here now, so that's good.
I got cut off somehow.
Yeah. I was just looking at, you've revamped the newsletter a little bit. At the top, your masthead is a little different now. Very nice, easy navigation. But you got a great story about Ben Rich. And I was just mentioning that all people, whatever side of the fence they may be on regarding the UFO ET issue, need to read about Ben Rich and what Ben Rich did. But more than that, what Ben Rich said. And it's a fascinating story. Tell us a little bit more about Ben Rich. First of all, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, great.
Good.
Relatives and everybody are all there.
Very nice. Very nice.
Turkey and ham and the whole, all the trimmings.
Trimmings.
And the Eagles, my favorite team, beat Dallas. So it was a wonderful day.
Gee. All right. Well, can't ask for much more than that, I guess. The matter of Ben Rich remains one of the most intriguing in the whole field. Now, I'm going to go talk a little bit about Mars in a bit, but right now, let's tell everybody about Ben Rich and why Ben Rich, who passed on in, I guess, the mid-90s, was so important and remains so important.
Well,
he died January 1995. Yeah.
He was the director of the Lockheed Skunk Works. You know, everybody talks about Area 51 and our secret aircraft, and he's responsible for building a number of aircraft. They usually show a picture of a F-117 fighter, but he obviously there's secret craft that he helped develop as well. He was the father of the stealth fighter bomber, in a very important position. One of the, if you were listed the best engineers in our country, he was certainly one of the top ones. And he went to a briefing at his alma mater, and Dan Harrison was on there, who was the MUFON director, who was also an engineer, listened to his briefing, and he was basically talking about UFOs and saying that we now have the ability to take E.T. home. And he showed a disc-shaped UFO up on the screen.
This was at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, NASA's, Caltech, Pasadena, and he made these statements, and there's only one way to interpret, we now have the ability to take E.T. home.
And Jan went up and talked to him afterwards. Got more information, and that said basically that we had an error in our equations, and we know what they are. We have the capability to travel to the stars. That first you have to understand that we will not get to the stars using chemical propulsion. Obviously, they have a new system tied into the how the UFOs operate.
Right. Liquid-fueled rockets, forget that. Doesn't work.
That old stuff, you know.
Yeah.
China had that 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Point is, we're into new propulsion systems that obviously make the aircraft or the spaceships go much faster and allow them to go to other star systems very rapidly.
Or, at the very least, travel around our solar system, no problem.
Right. There's indications, of course, that
we've done that for a long time.
Other places in our
Well, that brings me back to the Mars issue. And if you just go to, there are a number of sites, but MarsAnomalies.com, Joseph Skipper's site. Look at the pictures, folks. And remember the Curiosity rover set down in one crater in one of the least likely and suspicious areas of the planet, and has found all kinds of things in pictures that have to be perplexing to NASA if they're really seriously still trying to keep the lid on this concept that no life exists anywhere else and all that. Plenty of evidence that intelligent life has been, was, or is on Mars. Go ahead.
Well, even the head of NASA supposedly made a statement to that effect, that there was life on Mars in the past when he was on British television. The point is that the word is starting to leak out. Joseph Skipper has done a wonderful job, and actually you can just go on to these sites yourself. This is NASA and Mars. Start looking up the pictures and start looking at things yourself, and you'll see what appears to be skulls from various animals and even possibly people. And
well, the picture I put up on my homepage a couple of weeks ago showed clearly a valve. It looked like just a cross, like a plus sign, that you turn. It was a valve. It's not a natural formation. It wasn't a rock. It was a valve. And you could see that there was a housing around it to the left, and there were bolts where the housing was bolted to the main part of the frame, and then the valve was next to it. It was a valve. There's no other way to interpret it. None. And that's just one. We've seen pictures
of... tanks.
Go ahead.
Pyramids and
structures of
various kinds. Actually, I sent pictures to the University of Pennsylvania, who are Egyptologists, and they thought the pictures were from Egypt. The point being is that there's what appear to be, these statues of pharaohs.
Yeah.
Of course, the pyramids and other temple-like structures. Now, most of them look like they've been, bombarded and quite old, but at the same time, they're there. As a matter of fact, I often wonder if you think of the Ark of the Covenant and the Noah's Ark, that if that couldn't have been a spaceship that came here with all the animals and so on Mars and actually arrived here.
Why not?
It's just speculation, of course.
That doesn't mean all the animals here were brought over, but it means perhaps that there was an escape from Mars. I still think that there are intelligent beings there now, probably underground.
Right.
Those tunnels are the tubes. Too weird. Something's going on there. Here's another quote from Ben Rich. This is a quote. Now, this guy, at the end of his career, he knew he was dying. The last thing he would do would be to bring disgrace or disrepute on himself, his family, or his career, or those that worked with him for so many years. He would never do that. It's just not possible. He said, "We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do." Now, that's an absolutely mind-boggling statement from this man. And as George said earlier, he also said, "We now have the technology to take E.T. home." Now, that doesn't mean we can take him back to Mars. That means, as George said, we can travel the stars. No, it won't take someone's lifetime to do it. There is an error in the equations. We know what it is. We now have the capability to travel to the stars. We now have the capability to travel to the stars. First, you have to understand that we will not get to the stars using chemical propulsion, as George said. Second, we have to devise a new propulsion technology. What we have to do is find out where Einstein went wrong. When Rich was asked how UFO propulsion worked, he said, "Let me ask you, how does ESP work?" The questioner responded with, "All points in time and space are connected." Rich said, "That's how it works." In other words, it's all connected.
Yes. Do you do a mind trick that you get there, or do you go through some kind of hole in space or something like that?
Right.
He didn't reveal exactly how it's done, but obviously different people know, and I've talked to other people who work for Lockheed, and they indicate that they also know the tricks. In other words, he doesn't stand alone. There's other men who are revealing the same information. And as a matter of fact, they're supposedly writing books, but they haven't been published yet, so there would be rather interesting information coming out.
I think we are going to see some fascinating material, but I don't think we're going to see the government formally bring this ludicrous cover-up to an end. They'll let it linger on, and eventually the knowledge will permeate society to the extent that they'll probably eventually say, well, yeah, of course, everybody knew that.
You have to watch Lockheed. They're doing a lot of amazing things that are not necessarily, you know, in the aviation field. For example, they've come out with a new, lack of a better word, machine that takes the salt out of water very cheaply. And then you can set these machines up near the, you know, the coast and very cheaply take the salt out of it and have high-quality water.
Now, this isn't your typical desalination technique, which forces the water through membranes to take the salt out and so forth. That wasn't producing water really of acceptable high enough quality to live on, to do everything with. But you're saying now there's a whole new technology to take the salt out of water, which makes sense, or should be. Is that right?
That's what I understand. At least that's the information they released.
Well,
they were going to make millions on it because countries like India and Pakistan, who are short of water, are thinking of going to war over the small amount of water in their rivers. And here's a solution that will, in effect, hopefully make them friends. But, you know, these type of things occur all over the world, that people need water and it's not available. In Saudi Arabia, I was in there for a while, water was actually more expensive than gasoline. You don't think about it, but
it still is. Designer drinking water, it still is. You find a bottle of it, a quart of it in the store, $4 or $5. Silly. 4 quarts to a gallon. Now, Don Phillips, he was also at Lockheed, working with, I guess, after Rich, and with a Skunk Works engineer, U.S. Air Force, and CIA contractor, says these UFOs were huge and they would just come to a stop and do a 60 degree, 45 degree, 10 degree turn and then immediately reverse this action. During the Apollo landing, Neil Armstrong says, "They're here, they are right over there and looking. At the size of those ships, it's obvious they don't like us being here." Pretty amazing.
Right. I've talked to him on several occasions, and he indicates that it's kind of like standard information at NASA and different places that there is, you know, life out there. It's just that it's treated as classified, and they can't reveal it to the public.
Yep.
And we try to bring out that information as much as possible.
Well, you've done a great job.
There's lots of possibilities of how it's done with special space drives and so on. I gave one there example, but it's rather involved.
You deserve to go for a ride sometime, right? Anybody does, you do.
I've been for a ride.
All right, tell us more. You've been for a ride. Don't take us for a ride now. Can you talk about it, or is it something you shouldn't talk about?
Well,
you always talk
let's
about
put
things
it this way. I've seen them up close, very close.
As in inside and outside. I got it.
They exist.
Yeah. Well, you've had very interesting experiences in your life, as we know from listening all these years. And was the experience one time, two times more?
Well, all I can say is that the ones I met were ladies and gentlemen, and I was very impressed by them, and I look forward to seeing them again. I think they are visiting more and more people at this time.
Are they nice-looking people?
Yes, very nice.
Well, you saw the one in the store.
Yeah. Well, the ladies, at least, were very attractive, blondes, blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are the Nordics. I'm going to email you my address, so the next time they pick you up, just give me a call, and I'll be ready in 5 minutes.
Right.
I would really like that. That would be fun.
I think they're basically here to help us, you know.
Well, I hope they put it in gear and get busy, because we are rapidly we've destroyed the Pacific Ocean. The radiation from Fukushima is not stopping. It's getting worse. Coming up on 4 years in March, George, and most life in the Pacific Ocean is now dead. There hasn't been a baby whale live beyond, from the best anyone can determine, beyond a year of age since 2011, March. And that's when Fukushima was destroyed. Now we have tide pools with no life. Nothing. Apparently there are a few fish left here and there. But generally speaking, it could be made, and arguably has been made, clear that the ocean has been grievously and mortally wounded and is not going to recover, primarily because these radionuclides don't just go away. They're there for, some of them, tens of thousands of years. And the ocean, after 4 years almost of being flooded with radioactive death, it's over. Bioaccumulation up the food chain has concentrated things so much at the top of the food chain, we're losing polar bears, seals, the orca are not reproducing properly, they look emaciated, they're dying. And that's sad. So I hope that your friends do something. Seriously. I think we really are at a point where we have to be given an ultimatum, like the day the earth stood still. That would work for me. I don't think trying to reason with greedy human beings is going to go very far. Anyway, that's very interesting, George. Most interesting. Hold on just a minute. We have to pause. We'll come right back with Mr. Filer and continue looking. Do scroll through Filer's files, issues 45, 6, and 7, and read about Ben Rich, for real, no joke. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on. Looking at issue number 45, go to the center column, top of rents.com, and you'll find the story right at the top of headlines, his most recent three editions, 45, 46, and 47. Almost to the end of the line again, George. So
right,
fast.
Right, years go by fast, don't they?
Yeah, leaves in the wind. Now, number 46, I always like your special reports and look forward to seeing them with you when you're on. 46 is loading now here, and go ahead and load it where you are, folks, and we'll scroll down it together. There's George sitting in a... Is that a cockpit of the plane that you were attached to and when you were flying, or is that something newer?
Well, I used to fly C-141. That's a C-17 that picture was taken.
Uh-huh. Okay, Lord Dowding. Here's the other special report that matches the one with Ben Rich. Lord Dowding said UFOs exist. He says, oh, first of all, Chief Air Marshal Lord Dowding, Commander-in-Chief of the Royal Air Force Fighter Command during the Battle of Britain. That's all. It's just a little bit of rank. He led the few and masterminded the RAF's victory. This was printed in the Sunday Dispatch, July 11, 1954. He said more than 10,000 sightings have been reported, the majority of which cannot be explained or accounted for by any scientific explanation. I am convinced that these objects do exist and that they are not manufactured by any nation on Earth. I can therefore see no alternative to accepting the theory that they come from some extraterrestrial source. And, yeah, nicely said, Lord Dowding. Very simple, right to the point, and clear. Then Dan Aykroyd talks about aliens viewing humans as an inferior species. Heck, I view humans as an inferior species, George. I think we're a flawed and failed species. I have to just look around at the madness going on. What else did Dan Aykroyd say?
Well, we're kind of a greedy group.
I think that's probably
our big problem.
Greed is a pandemic.
Claims he feels that alien life refuses to make contact with the human race because we are seen as violent, deprived, disgusting species.
Well, we are.
In a lot of ways, and we're certainly ruining the Earth environmentally, and that's what they keep on warning us about. Almost all your abductees and contactees have the same story. And they warn about nuclear weapons and power that... Destructive, which obviously it is.
We're on the edge of many more Fukushimas. Many. Our nuclear power plants are mostly operating beyond their original intended life expectancy. None of them have ever earned a penny. They have only resulted in higher rates. And now we're stuck with countless tens of thousands of tons of radioactive waste, which will be here forever. It's not going anywhere. And we saw what happened in Japan and what happened to the Pacific Ocean and now the Pacific Coast. And it's not just the Pacific, because the jet stream brings that stuff up and over into Canada, past and through Alaska, and then down into the Midwest, into the South, and then up the Eastern Seaboard. Nobody escapes. It just doesn't work that way. So, correct. I agree with him.
Well, he goes on to say, can you imagine what was going through their advanced minds when they saw what happened at 9/11?
Oh, my good. No. Of course
these
not.
Humans crashing. Highest evolution in aviation into the highest evolution in architecture.
Well, they also know those were actually ratty buildings that were full of asbestos that had to be torn down or completely cleaned, which would have been a $1 billion project. The idea that they did not know or do not know about what really happened, of course they know. This species is transparent to them. They're intelligent. They know what's going on, and they can see it for what it is. I just don't see us recovering from this without outside forceful intervention. Just don't see it. I for one, hope for it.
Yeah, so do I, in a way.
Yeah.
I'm sure not all aliens are that friendly.
Well, there are other groups which may well be involved with our world leadership now, as you've made clear many times, and I agree. And that may be partly tied into the evil that is running rampant on the planet. Look around. Look at the news. Even though it's censored and covered up and is full of lies, you can get the general idea how bad things are. It's not hard to do.
Well, certainly in the Middle East, there's a lot going on there that's crazy.
Totally crazy. Okay. Next, I'm just looking at some of the historic pictures, extraordinary pictures. And then you've got a map of the polar invasion. You cover it all. Filer's Files is not just a review of UFO sightings, although they're there in plentiful amount, but they are surrounded by other interesting stories. You really enjoy doing this. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, I did it for 20 years in the Air Force, similar type thing. Mm-hmm. Not that much on UFOs, although occasionally we had UFO reports. But, you know, covering the various wars, what's going on with the weather. You know, we had roughly 1,000 airplanes,
right.
Military airlift command flying all over the world, and including the president and so on, that we had to keep aware of what was happening and safe and so on, and keeping all these aircraft safe and not shot down or flying in the wrong place, you know. I remember in Buffalo had huge snowstorms back then. Well, we would go in and carry snow moving equipment, you know, water and tents and all that kind of thing to help out. Or if there's an earthquake, we would go to help out. Or if there's a war, we would go to bring in supplies or troops or whatever.
Military air transport mats, they call it, I believe.
Yeah, that was. Then they went to Military Airlift Command.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Wright Field, another very interesting story here, as we continue with Major George Filer, our friend and colleague, and your friend as well. Do sign up for Filer's Files. Avail yourself of this information. You'll enjoy it. It's fun. It's fascinating, and you can pass it around to whoever you'd like. Just write to George at Major Star, M-A-J-O-R-S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net. Okay, in George's newsletter, his Filer's Files, issue number 46, the one I just quoted Lord Dowding from, there's another little vignette. Ohio, two alien creatures and crashed ship. Who wrote this, George, this piece on Wright Field?
Well, Ken Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah. You know what's fascinating is that...
Head of our investigations in New Jersey.
Yeah, Ken, do you talk to Ken at all?
Sure.
Ken was in athletics in Santa Barbara when I was there. And he worked for a long time at... I think he was the athletic director at the college there. Ask him.
Not that the same one, but in any case...
I think it might be. Anyway,
interesting stories, and he has his own websites about photos and so on.
Well, why don't we get Ken on?
Well, we can do that.
Just
January.
I mean, I can in January.
Or we can do it before then, if you like.
We can maybe do it this Friday if you want. I've got an opening. So, anyway, let me know. All right, here's what Ken Pfeiffer wrote. Right field, Dayton. In 1957, my father took me to see a movie called Earth versus the Flying Saucers. On the way home, he was unusually quiet. Finally, he said, they were too big. He then told me that 10 years earlier, in 1947, he had been stationed at Wright Field, where he was part of a film unit. One day, an officer came and told him, and another man, to grab a couple of 16mm movie cameras and follow him. He took them to a heavily guarded hangar. Inside was a badly damaged circular craft and about an acre of debris placed on a big canvas tarp. My father and his friend were instructed to get footage of everything. They did so. They then were taken into a refrigerated unit at the rear of the hangar. And inside that unit was what my father described as a museum case holding the bodies of two small creatures, gray, thin, with large eyes, but no eyelids. One showed some severe wounds, the other had no visible injuries. They were instructed to get footage of the creatures, who smelled similar to dead fish. When they had finished filming, the cameras were confiscated. My father said that he and his friend were literally sworn to secrecy. My father only spoke of this to me that one time, and I promised never to tell anyone. So it's a really interesting story. It finishes up, since he recently passed away, I feel I am now at liberty to relate the story. My father was very patriotic and very religious and not prone to making things up. And then there's an image, a rendering of the badly damaged UFO craft. Ken Pfeiffer, MUFON, New Jersey.
Ken was writing, I mean, he wrote the story, but he was in contact with another person.
Understand.
Who told him about it.
Well, I hope that, let's get Ken on here.
Okay, I'll give him a call.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Okay. Now, let's see, we have just 5 minutes left. Anything you want to say in particular that I've...
Well, I just mentioned that I've heard similar stories from other people.
Sure.
That would indicate that, at least in the early days, where the crashed craft were taken, and, examined. And, by the way, any kind of a crashed craft from Soviet or... other countries.
Wherever they happen to go.
Brought there and analyzed and so on.
Oh, they all came to Wright, huh?
Right. That was the Air Force home of research and development and stuff. So, in other words, it fits. The story is probably true. You know, whether all the details are true, we don't know, but it sounds like others I've heard as well.
Well, being that you know, you capital K N O W, you know what's going on, and you have had encounters yourself with these the tall blondes, the Nordics. Have they imparted to you or suggested to you how much of this destruction of the planet they're going to take? The kind, gentle, passive involvement isn't working. We're running out of time. We really are. Our species is going back up into the trees. It's being put through a devolution that is not good. It's not. The future doesn't augur well for the survival of the species as we've known it. And I would hope that they have made a decision or will make a decision to do something very assertive. Any ideas on that, George? Is it possible?
Well, they indicated they were like early investigators, or early to be setting up contacts and so on, and that they would be coming in large numbers because their planet was in dire trouble, and that when these large ships came here with large numbers of people. Now, they may be doing it surreptitiously. In other words, small ones at a time. But anyway,
surreptitiously. Look, as far as I'm concerned, we have allowed 35 to 40, maybe more, million illegals into this country. And Obama's executive order, I say let's bring the tall blondes, the Nordics, here in as many numbers as they want to come.
Right.
Right? That's okay with me.
Well, they're certainly smart and educated and have wonderful technology that can help us. And allegedly, they were, in fact, even helping us in our abilities to go to other places and work side by side with Ben Rich and so on.
Mm-hmm. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing. It's fun to speculate, and you cover things so nicely in the magazine.
Well, I think we have hope, let's put it that way. Now, I don't know if they can clean up the ocean. That may be beyond anybody's capability.
Well, tough to say. We certainly can't do it. Maybe someone else can. Don't know.
We can't even stop the radiation and so on going into the ocean.
No. Well, the problem, of course, is that the nuclear cores of three of the four reactors have melted, and they've gone down. They're below the containment. They're into the ground. There's no technology that exists that would allow us to dig down and pull that crap out and clean it up. It's deadly. We can't even go in to buildings 1, 2, and 3. It's death in minutes. So couldn't have worked out worse, George. Could not have been worse.
Well, it was a poor design to begin with, obviously.
We have 27 of the same design nuclear power plants here as we do looking at that one. Same thing. The Mark I BWR, and it is a catastrophe, as we've seen. So we will see. We'll know soon enough, I guess. So, okay, Christmas, holidays, do you have any special plans this month? Just to try to get through
it,
like everybody else?
Putting up lights on the house and, that kind of thing, and having some of the relatives come in.
Well, for goodness sake, don't fall.
Right.
No silliness on the roof, please.
People might want to look at some of the photos that are coming in of interesting objects in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of orbs and so on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cylinders, a few triangles and the like. That, how can I say it? That, each one is pretty much from a different person, at different places in the country.
Sure.
And those are rather convincing, just looking at the picture.
Yes, they are. And yes, some of the pictures can be hoaxed, but what's interesting is when you enlarge them so much that the pixel background around them begins to fuzz and blur, these pictures can be looked at easily and determined to be legitimate or fake for the most part. By people.
And the cameras are getting better all the time. So.
Super clear cameras. Large black disc in Australia, that's a classic picture. Nice. All right, my friend.
Coming in daily.
Yep. Well, if you get hold of Ken and you'd like to come on, we'll make some time sometime this month. I do have an availability at the moment this Friday. So see what he says. It'd be fun to talk to Ken.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know.
All right.
Have a wonderful holiday yourself.
Thank you, George.
And all those out there.
Thank you. You be well. All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Major George Filer, U.S. Air Force retired, and the man behind Filer's Files. Again, just write to George. Major, M-A-J-O-R, star. And he is a nice star. Major star at Verizon.net and ask for a subscription and you'll get it. Okay, you'll get hour number two as we continue after this.